This ASAP video is brought to you by Alpha Dog Sports. Leave no doubt, this is a one-stop shop for all of your athletic development products. AlphaDogSports.com.
Hi, I'm Ed Scali, and welcome back to another Athletic Strength and Power podcast. I'm just across the Ohio River at the Workout at Covington, located just 2 minutes from downtown Cincinnati, and maybe 8 or 9 minutes from the University of Cincinnati, where today's special guest graduated, and that would be Mary Weinberg, USA Olympic gold medalist. Mary, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
And thanks for taking time out to be with us. Are you still on the run, or have things slowed down a bit for you?
Things are a little hectic since I got back home. I arrived in Cincinnati from Europe on the 15th of September. My family and friends, they welcomed me along with my mom and my husband at the Cincinnati airport, which was very amazing, shocking situation. I had no idea that they were going to do that, so I was very surprised and overwhelmed and happy at the same time. So I found that since I've been home, you know, everyone in Cincinnati has just been a huge support. People have stopped me while I'm walking on the street or whether it's in my neighborhood just to congratulate me. So I'm very thankful and happy for that.
Walking down the street, huh?
Yeah.
Not running.
No running for a couple of weeks right now.
Okay. What about your educational background? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Walnut Hills, and I was coached by Carl Kaufman, which he's done pretty well with a lot of the Walnut Hills girls now up into this year. I went to the University of Cincinnati, and I was coached by Jim Schnur there at the university. And I graduated in 2002 with an exercise physiology degree out of the College of Education. And I kind of worked a little bit in my major after I graduated and then decided that I was interested in possibly making running a career and trying to do that for myself. I moved in 2004 to California to train for the Olympics at the Olympic Training Center, and things did not work out there. I did not make the team, and I decided to make the move back home and be coached again by Jim Schnur.
Just a little step back toward your high school when you're back at Walnut Hills. Mm-hmm. What kind of athletics were you involved in?
I was only involved in track and field simply because one of my best friends asked me to come out and join the team with her. And I said, hey, I'll try it. You know, it looks like it would be fun. But for me, I was thinking of it to be more of a social group. And I think at the time, the coach saw a lot of potential in me. I was a tall, thin girl. I had long legs, and we figured the 400 would probably be my race. So I was pretty average in high school. I wasn't the star athlete. I made it to states a couple of times and finally made it to states in the 400 my senior year, but I did not make it to the finals.
So when you went out for track back at Walnut Hills on the first couple of days, was it evident to the coach that, wait a minute, we've got something special here?
I guess it must have been. I know for me at age 4, I ran a small little race against some neighborhood boys, and I actually beat the boys there. So maybe from there, I should have known that I possibly would have been turning into a runner, but I never thought about it again until trying out for the team in the 7th and 8th grade at Walnut.
Scholarship offers?
I didn't get many scholarship offers coming out of high school. And for me, I knew that I either wanted to go to Xavier University or I wanted to go to the University of Cincinnati. I had planned to stay in Cincinnati no matter what. So unfortunately, Xavier did not have a track program at the time. And UC offered me a scholarship. And at the time, the coach there was Carolee. And she offered, along with Bill and Jim, they offered me a scholarship there, and I gladly accepted.
Now, what conference was University of Cincinnati in when you were running?
We were in the Conference USA conference.
And is it mostly conference meets, or do you guys go, you know, around the country, or how's that work?
It was mostly a lot of the meets we went to or attended were in Ohio, and then of course we would always, you know, travel for the big conference meet, such as Conference USA. So it wasn't too much traveling. And I know for me in college, I immediately dropped my time tremendously from 57 seconds down to 55 my freshman year. So the coaches automatically knew there. They said, wow, we knew that this girl could run and she could get better. And so I did get better throughout the years at UC. I ended up my senior year running 53:30 under Alicia Brewer, and it was just amazing. Once again, never thought about running after college. I thought that I would just do it for a hobby and for fun. So.
And that 53, what was it, 53?
53:30, and it still stands. I still have the indoor and the outdoor record at UC.
I was going to say, that's got to be close to a school record.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that the girls that we have on the team now, they've done such a tremendous, great, great job. I'm hoping for them to break my record, and I'm telling them each and every day, you know, ladies, I'd rather it be you guys. I want you to break the record. It stood long enough.
Yeah. Have you ever run like the 200 or the 100?
I did run the 200 a couple of times in college, but for me, I'm not a great sprinter. I'm more of a sprinter for the 400 in terms of I build up my speed as the distance goes on, but don't make me run over 400 meters. I'm average now. I know after I got out of college, I did decrease my time in both the 200 and the 400. So the faster I got in the 200 definitely helped me out in the 400.
And then when you're on the indoor circuit or whatever, do you go a shorter race than 200 or 100? Or
have you
ever done that?
Most of the times for the indoor season, my coach and I, we kind of put me in a couple of 60-meter races in the indoor season just for fun.
Just 60s,
yeah, because the farthest they go indoor season is 60 meters for the indoor track.
How fast in the 60 were you?
You know, I don't even remember my time in the 60s because, again, I just did it for fun. I did it just for training purposes, just to get out there and get my wheels turning under. But I did run the 200 indoors, and I think my time there was 23.8 at the time, and then I ran the 400 indoors. And it's a little different indoors because you have to go around the track twice.
And for all those physical education students that are out there getting ready to run that mile run test for those fitness tests and things like that, if you went out and tested yourself on a mile run, how long do you think it would take?
You know, I am not sure. For me, I don't ever train over 400 meters, mm-hmm. so it's a little different to think about a mile. I'm not even sure. It would be a very interesting race to see, because for me, I'm more sprint oriented. So once you get into the longer distance, I tend to make myself, it gets a little harder for me. And so I think I would run a pretty good mile though. I think I would.
Oh, so I'm sure. Let's talk a little bit about that Olympic experience now. What was it like?
Prior to the Olympics, you know, we had our Olympic trials, and so that was the buildup for myself for the whole entire year, was to make the team and to do really well at the Olympic trials. And so I know for me, at the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon, I placed second, and I actually fell across the line after placing second. And my husband at the time in the stands did not know whether I had made the team or whether I had not, and he was just in such shock. But once I looked back at the screen and I saw Mary Weinberg second place, I kind of just jumped up, and I was just so joyful, because for me, it's been a tremendous long 4 years just to make the team. So going to Beijing, China, I was much more prepared than in 2004. And unfortunately, I didn't make the final rounds in the 400 meters. But just to get out there and be able to know that I had a second chance in the 4x4 was just another amazing experience.
Of course, the opening ceremonies, presidents, dignitaries all over the place. Did you kind of bump elbows with anybody that was super famous?
Definitely. It was I say the word of amazing, and that was the theme kind of the Olympics, amazing awaits and one world, one dream. I saw so many different athletes, and during opening ceremonies, I was just overwhelmed. You know, we were outfitted by Polo, and our outfits were very, very nice. And just to walk into the stadium and just to see all the supporters and the fans of China there, and just to be near my teammates, Team USA, and just not to be near the track teammates, but just everyone that plays different sports. I met a lot of the basketball team, Michael Phelps, a lot of the gymnastics, a lot of the women's basketball, women's soccer, swimming, boxing. It was tremendous.
Beijing or Beijing? What do you go with?
We say Beijing, and some people say Peking. So if you're in Germany, they call it Peking. To answer a little bit more on your prior question, I had the opportunity to, of course, meet President Bush and his father, former President Bush, and it was really amazing to meet those two individuals, just to shake their hands and just to hear them say, you know, thank you for representing Team USA and being here and doing such a great job. And I'm actually going to the White House on Monday, so it'll be really amazing to meet up and see them again, and hopefully I get lots of pictures.
Exciting. That's cool. And of course, that medal ceremony culminating years of preparation for that event.
Yeah, the 4x4, just, you know, running the prelim and then coming into running the final and knowing that I had to start my team out and I had to lead the team to, you know, our victory. It was such an amazing experience and such a nerve-wracking experience, because you're put out there into the blocks with a baton in your hand and the team is expecting you to, you know, get them off to a good start. So I was so thankful that I was able to get out there and run my split of 50.8 and put my team into position. And I had to run against the Olympic gold medalist, actually. She was first leg for Team Great Britain. And then the girl who got second for Jamaica was the first leg for Jamaica. So, you know, I had a lot of good girls to run against. Once we went through all of our legs and it got down to the second, the third, and then finally the fourth leg, Sonia Richards did such a great job. And actually, all the girls did, Allison Felix and Monique Henderson. And then just to get on the podium with those young girls, it was just amazing. We started to get emotional just hearing our national anthem and just seeing the flag being raised up into the sky and just being able to see and know that, hey, Team USA, we just won a gold medal.
That's inspiring. Great story. Did you have a chance to get out and roam around China for a while?
I didn't do too much roaming because we started competition on the 16th and then I had to go all the way into the very last day of the Olympics. I did get out to go see the Great Wall, which was really, really nice. It was a very big place, and I didn't get a chance to walk the whole entire Great Wall or even a large portion of it. I had my husband do a lot of the walking while I sat back and watched, and I told him to take pictures. So we had a good time. And it was interesting to see some of the people from China there. And they knew that I was an athlete and they wanted to take pictures and stuff with me.
How about those exotic foods over there? Did you get to try any?
No, and I don't think I would be trying any. I actually did not go to any other restaurants outside of the village. We mostly ate in our cafeteria where we had food that was either American food or just different other countries. And then we also had, of course, our sponsor McDonald's was there and present serving us for 24 hours a day.
What time of day was it when you ran the now famous 4x400 meter relay?
When we were in China, we were 12 hours ahead. I think that I actually went out to run at about maybe 9 something. I'm not exactly sure what time the actual race was, but I know they aired it here, of course, several hours later. But the anticipation of the whole entire day, just knowing that, hey, this is the final and it's up to us. We had some problems with the other relays dropping the baton. And, you know, we just had to have confidence in ourselves and know that we just had to get out there and do what we knew that we could do.
Mary, do you recall what it was that you had for breakfast that day?
I think I do remember. I actually had a bowl of oatmeal, and I had some orange juice, and then I had a banana. And then for lunch, I think I might have had a chicken salad from McDonald's. So,
the breakfast of champions, and then on to McDonald's. Wow.
Yes.
What's the typical eating plan that you really do follow, though?
You know, I'm not very strict. I'm very tall and slender, again, with my size. And not to say that I eat everything in the world, but I usually burn off a lot. So I don't have trouble saying that I have to stay away from these certain foods. But I know one thing, I don't eat fast food. I kick mostly all of my food, whether it's chicken breasts or fish or rice or potatoes, and definitely always vegetables such as a salad or things like that. I try to drink lots of water. I don't drink soda. And don't drink coffee. So I stick with just healthy things, you know. And if I do indulge in things such as chocolate or ice cream, it burns off of me quickly. So I'm thankful that I have that high metabolism.
Some of your favorite snacks?
Ooh, Oreo cookies.
Oh, there we go.
And fruit snacks.
What was your gold medal day like? Did you follow a strict routine? You got certain rituals that you do on that running day that you're going to run? Or how do you prep it?
You know, I don't have too many rituals. I know I do get up in the mornings on a race day, and I kind of just mellow myself out because I don't want to get too stressed and get my body too stressed and tense. And just kind of go with the regular routine of just eating breakfast. And if I'm able to eat lunch before I race and not have a heavy stomach, I do so. I always lay out my uniform the night before, so that is one thing that I do because I want to make sure that I don't miss any pieces. So once you get to the track, you can't go back. And I always run in my jewelry. A lot of people ask me, well, do you run in your rings? Do you run in your earrings? I always run in my jewelry, and I always wear gold eyeshadow. And that's just something for me that I always want to remember to try to go after the gold. So that's my little signature thing, is my gold eyeshadow.
Excellent. All right, let's switch lanes here and talk about goal setting. And the goal setting that was involved. When was it that you went from being an above average college athlete to a world-class track star?
I guess you could say after graduating in 2002, I made my first indoor world team for Team USA, in which we did get a medal in the 4x4. I got a bronze medal in that. So that was my first experience knowing that, hey, I could possibly be on this international level and be able to run with these elite girls. I had a couple of bad years, and, you know, being really discouraged from 2004 and not making the Athens team, I actually came home and I cried. I cried a lot. because I couldn't believe that I had not made the team. I thought, hey, I put this work into it. Hey, I should be able to, you know, get the reward of making the team. So I think I was able to come back to Cincinnati with just a new focus of knowing, hey, I need to train harder. I need to get stronger in the weight room, and I just need to take it seriously. I was taking it seriously before, but I knew that it would be a job now that I would have to do. So I sort of had my breakthrough year in 2006 in which I lowered my time. I think it was 51:54, and I knew there that, hey, I still have more potential because I hadn't given my all completely yet. And then in 2007, I lowered my time down even more, and I ended up the season in 2007 at 50.24, which was a breakthrough year for me. I had got third at the Nationals for track and field, in which we went to our outdoor world championships in Japan, and I was able to actually represent the USA in the Open 400. A lot of people have known myself. I was Mary Danner before I got married, and now Mary Weinberg, they knew, oh, she's a great relay person. She's a great person to run the relay. Well, I just didn't want to be known as a relay runner. I wanted to be known as, hey, I'm also good in the 400 meters. So I think now that I've proved that, 2 years now, I was able to represent Team USA in the Open 400. And it's just a tremendous feeling to just see all my hard work finally pay off. And it's been, like I said, a long 4 years. And I'm getting ready for another long 4 more years.
How do you keep yourself motivated when you're having a bad day or, you know, you just had a bad meet? How do you pick up the pieces and go with it?
I think my husband and my coach are very good at helping me with that. My husband, Chris Weinberg, is actually my training partner. So he's a sprints coach at UC, but during the day, he's my training partner. And he pushes me forth in all the workouts. And sometimes I want to quit. And sometimes I want to say to him, oh, I'm so tired today. And it's, no, you need to get on the line. Because remember, what are we working for? And I know with my coach, Jim Schnur, he's always pushing me. And he's known from day one that I could be the best that I can be. And I think with him, it's just helped tremendously to get me this far. And just, of course, my family support and friends and just everyone telling me, hey, don't give up. And for me, I knew that I didn't want to give up my dream. I always wanted to try and reach it.
What about the actual training involved?
So in January, my coach and I, we kind of extend the distance a little bit. We'll do 300 meters, 350 meters. We'll do 500 meters, and sometimes I'll even do 800 meters in practice. And the 800s really get to me because it's longer than a 400, so it mentally affects me. But I try to get through it because I know I need the strength to be able to endure what the 400 actually takes once I get to the high, high end of my competition season. As we get into the outdoor season again, we are still lifting. I do a lot of Olympic lifts. I think that has really helped to develop me over the years and make me really strong and powerful. I know the difference between college and now is my strength aspect. I was probably maybe about 10 pounds lighter than what I am now, and I know that I've put on lots of more muscle and just got really, really strong and able to really pound on the track and push myself off. As we get into my outdoor season, we tend to shorten the distance quite a bit, and everything now more is about quality versus quantity. And that kind of is the overview of how my whole year comes. And when I get over to Europe, it's really hard to try to still train and run. So a lot of times I'm working off of what I have and I'm just going out and doing some things just to really get my central nervous system going, whether it's just short distances. And so then that's kind of how we work it out. And then I come back home and, like I said, I'm taking a month off and then I have to restart it over.
How long does a typical track workout last for you? What's it like?
Sometimes it may take an hour or an hour and a half, depending on my break. Usually, my coach allows me to get longer breaks depending on what the workout is. And if it's shorter distances, we'll take maybe 8 minutes. But if it's longer, we'll take 15 to 20 because he really wants me to really push myself to the limit and really get the times that he pushes out there. After that, I usually take a small break, and of course, I get something to eat, whether it's a protein shake or something, and then I head into the weight room, and I do about an hour of weightlifting. And on some of my off days, when we're not on the track, I do yoga, and sometimes I also do Pilates, and just other little different things to really gear towards my small muscles that I have.
So maybe a typical track day, you might run, how many 400s do you think? Or just a different?
Let's say a typical track day, I may go out and I'll do three times split 350 meters. And that's like a really good workout for the 400 in terms of really making sure that you're getting out the first part of your race and then being able to finish strong. So my coach will have me go out and I'll run a 200 in a race pace. So for me, my 200 needs to be at probably a 23.8 to a 24 flat. That's what I want to run the first 200 in a race 400. Then I get a minute rest, and then all out I have to run my last 150 all out, and with whatever I have, because that's how I have to dig in the 400. I have to be able to dig and finish strong. So that's a really good workout that we tend to work on, and I'll take about 15 minutes between each of those. And then, of course, we have a warm-up that you need to do, which is very important because you just don't want to get out and run. And then, of course, cooling down and stretching is very important, and getting an ice bath.
We talked about goal setting, and what's next for you now? What?
I guess for now, I'm just really enjoying the gold medal, and I'm actually going to Disney World tomorrow, and I'm going to go there with my husband and my godsister and her husband and two kids, and just really enjoy myself there, take a short little break, and again, come back to Cincinnati, get on a plane on Monday, go to the White House and come back, and then really enjoy homecoming is coming up for my high school, and then also homecoming for UC, and enjoy all that they have to offer. I know myself, and there was another Olympic medalist from Cincinnati, David Payne. We plan on, you know, really doing a lot for our university. We both went to the University of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And then I think after that, it's really just getting back focused. October the 15th is my first day back at practice and really getting back into shape. I don't think I'm out of shape, but it will be a hard first day. I'm not sure what my coach has planned for me, but it probably be something difficult. So that's all that I have planned, and then really to get ready for the indoor season in January, and then really push myself for the outdoor season, and then three more long years of training hard and making sure that I make the London team.
You know, we saw in the Olympics, older athletes are starting to make their, yeah, you know, their names known in the Olympic Games. Well, that could be you.
It definitely can be. I know for me, a lot of people, when I tell them how old I am, they look and they say, you don't look anything over 20. And I think that's good. Hopefully I can look like this when I'm 40 and 50, and maybe still I can keep running. I know that it does take a lot, especially as you do get older. You start to feel a couple more things in your body versus some of the maybe younger athletes. And I think I'm doing well enough to know that I may be 28, but I definitely don't feel 28.
You know, since you're taking some time off from running, I guess that next is my chance of challenging you to a foot race here at the training center at the workout at Covington today. Mary Weinberg, Olympic gold, thanks so much for joining us here today at the workout at Covington. You're a true role model for young people everywhere. You're getting ready to go to Disney World, the White House. Life must be incredible for you right now. I know when I jump back in my car, I'm going to put an old Eagles song, Life in the Fast Lane, just for you.
Thank you so much.